So we started in Genesis, walked our way through the scriptures, looking at all the prophecies of the Bible chronologically, which brought us after a year to Revelation. And now we're walking through Revelation. And in chapter 1, verse 19, who would read that? Anybody? Philip, thank you. So right there, John gives us the outline of the three sections of Revelation. So the things which thou hast seen, chapter 1. The things which are, at that point, chapters 2 and 3, the letters to the seven churches, which is still true. We're still in the church age. And the things which shall be hereafter, chapters 4 to chapter 22. So there we see the breakdown of Revelation, the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So then we got to chapter 4 and we notice these 24 elders who almost have to represent who? Anybody remember? Close. The 24 elders. They were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They have white robes. They have crowns that they cast at Jesus' feet. Who would that be? The church, exactly. Remember, chapter 4, verse 1, what's it say? Come up hither. So the church goes to meet the Lord. Come up hither. We see them in heaven in chapters 4 and 5, worshiping the Lord. And then we see the seven sealed book, which is about to open up and reveal the judgments of the tribulation period. And only one was worthy to open the book. Who was that? The Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he opened the book, seven seals began, and the first seal started there in chapter 6. We walked through those seals and up through chapter 6. And then chapter 7 was kind of parenthetical because it introduced a different group of people. Who were they? Anybody? Who did we get introduced to in chapter 7? We hear about them all the time with those people that knock on our door. The 144,000, right? And they're not Jehovah's Witnesses, not in the earthly sense. They are Jehovah's Witnesses, but they're Jews, aren't they? From 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, sealed by God in their foreheads, and they go out and they preach the gospel. Multitudes get saved during the tribulation period. And so we see them introduced there in chapter 7. And then in chapter 8, the seventh seal, where we started last week. And that seventh seal reveals the seven trumpets. And that's where we finished last week, down here in verse 6, where we're going to look at the first of the seven trumpets. So who would read 6 through 12? Get us introduced, and then we'll pray and get started. 6 through 12. Anybody? Norm, thank you.
And the seven angels, which had seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, there followed hail, fire, mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the water. And the name of the star was called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we continue looking at Revelation together. We pray that you'd use it in our hearts and lives to teach us and grow us, to mold us to be more like our Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord. And so may he be glorified and every aspect of this service be pleasing to Thee. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we see these first four trumpets here in this passage that Norm read. So the first trumpet reveals the hail and the fire, a judgment of hail and fire. Has that ever happened before in Scripture? Can anybody remember where there was a time of hail and fire mixed? I'm hearing mumblings. Go ahead and speak out. Don't be afraid. Did Sodom and Gomorrah include hail? It was brimstone, for sure. But there was actually a time in the Bible when hail and fire were mixed, just like here. Thank you. Exodus chapter 9, let's look at it. One of the plagues of Moses, remember? God sent him to manage, if you will, the 10 plagues on Egypt. And one of those plagues here in Exodus chapter 9, who would read verses 23 and 24? We'll see it. Mr. Scott?
And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation.
So very similar plague here upon the earth in this first trumpet there in verses 6 and 7. The hail and fire mingled with blood. So there is a bit of a difference in that the blood is mingled. But the ultimate result is that a third part of the plant life is killed, which is going to have a lasting effect on the food supplies and all of that. Now, these phenomena compare well with the prophecies of Joel chapter 2. Let's turn there. Joel chapter 2 and verse 30. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. So the two books after Daniel. Chapter 2 and verse 30. Who would read 30 and 31 of Joel 2? Anybody? Joel chapter 2, verse 30 and 31. Philip, thank you.
And I'll show one of them, the heavens and the earth, light and fire, filled with smoke. The sun shall return into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord comes.
So it looks like God gave Joel a little glimpse of these plagues, these judgments that will be cast upon the earth during the tribulation period. Now, the second trumpet we saw was the water becoming blood, here in verses 8 and 9. And did that ever happen in the Bible at a different time? Beth? Yep, that is another one of the Moses' plagues where the water became blood there in Exodus chapter 7. And later on we're going to see after the trumpets comes the vials, and the second and third vials are going to have similar judgments. But so the first trumpet we see there in verse 7 brings the hail and fire mingled with blood, which destroys one third of the plant life. The second trumpet is the third part of the sea becoming blood, and the third part of the creatures dying. So it's all of these are one third, one third, one third. And then the third trumpet we saw there was this star falling from heaven. And this star has a name, Wormwood. And this destroys, what does it do? The waters became bitter, that's right. And many men died because of the bitter waters. So this isn't just the sea, because the other one was the waters of the sea. This is now, looks like the fresh waters, the Wormwood. And so without water, men die. And that is the plague of the wormwood there, the third trumpet. And then of course the fourth trumpet is in the heavens. And Jesus actually gave prophecies about these signs in heaven. Let's go to Luke chapter 21 and see this. And also, remember, there was a plague of Moses that darkened the sky in Exodus chapter 10, which was similar as well. So it looks like the plagues of Egypt were in some ways prophetical. They didn't know it, but they were prophetical of the plagues that would fall upon, some of the plagues that would hit the earth during the tribulation period thousands of years later. So who would read Luke 21:25 about these signs in the heavens that Jesus prophesied of? Anybody? Beth?
And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roar.
And the context, of course, is, notice verse 24, they shall fall by the edge of the sword, shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Remember, the Gentiles will be allowed to desecrate Jerusalem during the tribulation period. Of course, the Antichrist will sit on the throne and claim to be God, and people will be worshiping him as God. And so these first four trumpets just begin these judgments. They're going to get worse. that are going to be poured upon the earth during the tribulation period. And so already we see people perishing because of these judgments, these first four trumpets. And now after the fourth trumpet, we have an angel flying and telling us something. So who would read that, verse 13 of Revelation 8? Anybody? Mr. Scott, thank you.
And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound.
Now these last three trumpets are also tied in with the woes, which kind of makes it complicated. So the fifth trumpet is the first woe. So don't memorize that, and we'll quiz you next week. The sixth trumpet is the second woe. And then we'll talk about the seventh trumpet later. So he is warning them and saying it's going to get worse. Here come the other three trumpets and these woes. And he's declaring this. And what other name is? Oh, yeah. So there's another, if you look in Revelation 14, there's another time when angels fly in heaven and declare something. Revelation 14, verse 6. This one's a bit better than the one we just read. Notice it says 14:6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. So the second angel that flies through heaven and makes a declaration has been given the everlasting gospel. All right, so remember, we have seven seals. The seventh seal reveals the seven trumpets. Now, we've looked at the first four trumpets. That brings us to chapter 9, where we will look at the fifth and the sixth trumpet, which are also the first and the second woe. I know that's a little complicated, but Revelation's complicated. What can you say? So chapter 9, who would read verses 1 and 2 to get us introduced to this fifth trumpet? Mark, thank you.
And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit.
Okay. So this star that's falling from heaven, is it a literal star? And how do we know it probably isn't? Pardon? Okay, but there's a key word there. The word him, right? So a star isn't a him. This is a creature. So, and as we've seen over and over again, stars often are representative of angels. Remember that Jesus had the seven stars in his hand? Those represented the seven angels of the seven churches. And this is another example of a star that is actually an angel. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And the bottomless pit. Let's go to Luke chapter 16. Maybe we've been given a glimpse of that. The bottomless pit is different from the lake of fire. How do we know? Well, they have different names, and they're spelled different. Notice in Luke 16, we're going to see this gulf. Notice down in verse 19, there was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. Actually, I started too early. Da, 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 da. This is where Lazarus and the rich man, one went to Abraham's bosom, one went to a place of torment. Verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So it's very possible that this bottomless pit is this same great gulf that was between Abraham's bosom and the place of torment prior to Calvary. We don't know that for sure, but it looks like the bottomless pit is in the earth from what the Bible tells us. And this star, this angel, was given the key to the bottomless pit. And unfortunately, what comes out of the bottomless pit is not very pleasant. So let's go to chapter 11 and verse 7 and see who else comes out of the bottomless pit. Revelation 11:7. Who would read that? Thank you, Beryl. The beast. Anybody ever heard of the beast? Mark of the Beast. He comes out of the bottomless pit. Now let's go to chapter 17 and see another that comes out of the bottomless pit. Chapter 17, verse 8. Who would read that? Philip, thank you.
The beast of their source was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Later on, the earth shall wonder whose name was not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not, and it is.
Actually, it wasn't another. It was just telling us again it was the beast. Sorry about that. So, who comes out of the bottomless pit here in this first, fifth trumpet or first woe? Locusts. So let's go back there and read it. Revelation chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. Who would read that? Revelation 9, 3 through 6. Mr. Scott?
And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them.
So these are not literal locusts, are they? These are some sort of creature that comes out of the bottomless pit that has power to sting like a scorpion. Anybody ever seen a scorpion other than me in the wild? They're scary looking little things, let me tell you. And these are bigger and they sting people, but they don't kill them. They just torment them for 5 months. And the only people that don't get stung are who? Somebody with a seal. Yeah, the 144,000 that we just read about in chapter 7. They're the ones who don't get stung. But the rest get stung and have to deal with this 5 months of painful torment, where obviously they prefer to die, but they can't. And that's just another one of the curses and plagues of the tribulation. Yep.
You think that might encourage some unsaved people to get saved?
You would think all of these would. Amen. And isn't it interesting, you know, today it's so commonplace to hear about people, for example, coming out of the graves. Do we hear a bit too much about zombies today? And yet in Matthew it happened, didn't it? When Jesus Christ died on the cross and the sky went dark, the Bible says people came out of the graves and went into Jerusalem. And now here we're reading about these creatures. We hear about it all the time now, all the aliens and creatures and everything. This was written 2,000 years ago. So, you know, it's already been planned by God, if you will. And this is going to be horrible. These locust-like, scorpion-like creatures coming out of the bottomless pit and stinging. And, you know, Mark mentioned the saved. It looks to me like even those that up to this point have gotten saved, even they have to go through the torment. I don't know. But the seal of God mentioned there, I think, is tying back to the 144,000 two chapters earlier. And the saved may not necessarily have the seal of God on their foreheads. So even they may have to go through the torment, because these are worldwide plagues. And this isn't killing people, but it is tormenting them with pain. Now, of course, this torment is only a foreshadow, if you will, of the torment of the lake of fire, where it lasts forever. This is only for 5 months. But it says, they seek death and shall not find it. Again, a foreshadow, if you will, of the lake of fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You know, Jesus talked about hell more than he did heaven. And it looks like there's even some sort of supernatural intervention by God. It says, death shall flee from them, as if they're not even going to be allowed to kill themselves somehow. Because you would think that a lot of people would try to kill themselves when they're going through this amazing torment from these scorpion stings. And it says, death shall flee from them. So that says to me that somehow God isn't going to allow people to kill themselves. He's just going to make them go through the 5 months of pain, which is, again, just part of this horrible pouring out of wrath. So that is the fifth trumpet, the first woe. Any thoughts about that? It's a terrible time. Praise God, we won't be here. Praise God, we don't have to go through this. So the fifth trumpet, first woe, is the opening of the bottomless pit, and men shall seek death, they shall not find it. Now these locust creatures, God's going to describe them better for us. It says, verse 7, they were like unto horses prepared unto battle. So we don't know how big they are, but if they're like a horse, what if they're the size of a horse and have scorpion tails? Can you imagine? The size of a horse with scorpion tails. They have crowns of gold on their heads, and they have faces like the faces of men. That's some pretty nasty creatures. And these come out of where? The bottomless pit. These creatures. I don't know what else to call them. They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. So they can even fly. So they're horse-like, man-like, locust-like, scorpion-like creatures that can fly. And their only mission, if you will, is to sting everybody on the earth and make them go through 5 months of torment. As it says, verse 10, they had tails like unto scorpions, and they were There were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Any thoughts about these creatures? Well, I think the locust part is the fact that they fly and that they come to devour, in a sense, right? That's what a locust does. They come in swarms and they devour everything in sight. These creatures, though they're locust-like, the Bible says they're shaped like locusts, but they're also likened to horses. So people have tried to draw these things, but that's a tough task, isn't it? We're not going to know until I don't even know if God's going to allow us to see this from heaven. But I'm sure we'll at least be able to know what they look like. Just ask God when we get to heaven. Lord, what did those creatures look like? Yes? Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's nothing new. Didn't Solomon say there's nothing new under the sun? It's so true. You know, everybody thinks it's new, but this was written 2,000 years ago. And this is real. These are real creatures that are going to really come out and really sting people. Imagine the size of their tails. Yeah. With these giant stingers. I mean, you know, it's scary when you read about it. But like Beryl said, it's a lot like what you see today on a lot of TV stuff, a lot of movies. So, wonder where they get all that stuff. A lot of them don't even know they're getting it from the Bible sometimes. So these judgments are being poured out upon the earth. And in verses 7 through 10, God uses those words as and like a lot of times, which is a way to help us understand the creatures the best we can. He says in verse 7, as it were, crowns like gold, as the faces of men, hair like women, teeth were as the teeth of lions. Their wings had the sound of many horses running to battle, tails like unto scorpions. So he's relating them back to things that we can relate to try to describe these creatures for us. And then we're told in verse 11 that they had a king. Oh, we didn't touch on the hair of women. What does that mean? Any thoughts on that? What's the difference between a woman's hair and a man's hair? It's long? Well, according to the Bible, that would be the explanation. And we can see that in 1 Corinthians 11. So let's turn over there. Because it's definitely not about color or about texture. So what else would it be? 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 14 and 15. Who would read those for us? I think we looked at these last Sunday night. That question. Anybody? Mr. Scott?
So not even nature itself teaches that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering.
So there it is, in God's word. So hair is the hair of women. These creatures have long hair. Just to make it that much, I don't know, creepy. They're already creepy enough to have tails of scorpions and faces like men, but shaped like horses and locusts. Like I say, people have tried to draw these, but nobody can actually guess. All right, and they have a king here in verse 11. Who would read that verse? Verse 11. Beryl, thank you. Okay, so they have a king. that the Hebrew and Greek names of this angel, all these names mean destroyer. This angel, is this a heavenly angel? How do we know it's not? Do we know it's not a heavenly angel? Beryl. Exactly. It came out of the bottomless pit, and it's the king over these creatures that come out of the bottomless pit. So, what does that tell us about angels? Are there fallen angels? There obviously are, and the Bible teaches that there are. We're even told that God punished the angels that fell in 2 Peter. We're going to read later on in chapter 12 where Satan was cast out. Chapter 12 is kind of a summary chapter stuck in the middle of these chapters that talks about basically Israel's battle from the beginning to the end. And in the midst of that battle, we see the dragon, who's representative of Satan, as he's cast out of heaven, it says he uses his tail to scoop away one-third of the angels on his way out. That's where we always hear about one-third of the angels fell with the devil. It's from Revelation chapter 12. There's no other place that we get that. And it looks like, so he has his own angels. And here we have an angel ruling these creatures in the bottomless pit. He even has a name, and he gives it to us in Hebrew and Greek. But both of these words mean essentially destroyer. So that's his goal, to destroy. And he is the king of these, I don't know, what are we going to call these things? They don't have a name. Just creatures coming out of the bottomless pit. So any thoughts or questions about that before we move on to the sixth trumpet / second woe? All right, so who would read then 13 through 15? We'll get started on this sixth trumpet. Anybody? Mr. Scott?
And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for they slay, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them.
Okay, so this sixth angel, who sounds the sixth trumpet, again, this angel is one of God's angels. These are in heaven sounding these trumpets, as opposed to one of the devil's angels, who was the king over the creatures from the bottomless pit. And it says, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, these four angels are prepared to do what? Slay one-third of humanity. Wow. Now, we don't know how many are left by now. We've already had the rapture. We've already had people killed through these other plagues. But however many are left, one-third are going to die in this plague through these four angels. Most likely, I'm guessing, not God's angels in this case, but part of the devil's attack on the earth, or being allowed to attack the earth by God's sovereignty. But one-fourth of the population, remember, was killed during the pale horse, right? It specifically said when the pale horse came out, remember the four horses? The pale horse killed one-fourth. Now, these four angels are going to kill one-third of the remaining three-fourths. And if you know how to do your fractions, that means up to this point, how many are killed? So one-third times three-fourths is one-fourth, right? Cancel out the threes. So one-fourth died the first time, one-fourth dies the second time. What's that leave? One-half. So we're only in chapter 9, and over half of humanity has died. Just like that. One-third with the pale horse, and now one-fourth one-fourth with the pale horse, and another one-fourth of the original world dies with these four angels out of the river Euphrates. That doesn't include all that had died through these other plagues. So more than one half of the earth has died by chapter 9. You think the tribulation is a nasty time? It's just amazing. And that is, you know, Jesus prophesied that this would happen. Go to Matthew 24, if you would, and verse 21. And he prophesied that it would be a horrible time of wrath and death. Who would read verses 21 and 22 of chapter 24 in Matthew? Thank you, Beth. Yep, that's right.
Then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
In other words, tribulation is only 7 years. If it just kept going, there'd be nobody left. That's what Jesus is saying. So one, we know we have a milestone here. One half of humanity has perished already, at least, if not more, by the time we get to the sixth trumpet or the second woe. And that brings us to these four horses, which I think we better look at next week. So any thoughts or questions up to this point? Next week we'll finish chapter 9, looking at these four horses that come out of the great river. And all the destruction that they bring, and then move right on into chapter 10. Any thoughts or questions? Brother Dunn?
Yeah, that 5 months, you know, that we read before, is there any significance to that time?
I can't find any. You know, I searched for cross references to that, and there's nothing. You know, we find plenty of references to 42 months, you know, half of the tribulation, and 1 month, but I couldn't find any cross references to 5 months. So I believe it's a literal 5 months. That it's a literal 5 months of torment. Which, if you think about it, these creatures come out of the bottomless pit. They sting everybody that doesn't have the seal. That's the whole earth. Then they get tormented with pain for 5 months, and then right after that, another one-fourth of the earth dies. Is killed by the plagues of these four horses. A lot of wrath. A lot of judgment. Again, praise God, we're not going to be here. Exactly. Praise the Lord. That's the only glimmer of light in the whole mess. It's these 144,000 that have been sealed of God that are preaching the gospel, and the people are getting saved. And we'll get to go to heaven.